Caleb whispered. "Lady?" the young priestess and another of the clerics asked in unison. Berylip blinked repeatedly, trying to focus on the room once more. She wanted to argue with the Illithid, but had no idea of how to even return his communication, and it was him she knew, and his warning echoed in her thoughts. "We go," Berylip said to the others. "To war," one cried. "No," Berylip cut her short. She turned to the oldest and most powerful of the bunch. "Gather back whatever of our soldiers you can find," she ordered, and to the others she said, "To the mines, all of us, to the mines and below."
"You are fleeing the apostate," one priestess dared to argue.
But at the same time, in Berylip's head, the Illithid's watery voice warned,
"They will win the room before you arrive. They are beyond you."
"He has come alone?" Berylip asked the young priestess, her voice halting as she considered Methil's assertions. She shook her head.
With allies," she stammered. "And mistress, our missing kin are there in battle, fighting on the side of Drizzt."
She lowered her voice.
"They are undead, mistress, and being led by a vampire dwarf who controls them."
Berylip silently cursed her brother and Tiago again, although it occurred to her that perhaps the hunting party had indeed come upon Drizzt and had been defeated. Had the rogue arrived in Cusor Lauren through Tiago's march? It was too much for her to comprehend, and she could not make sense of it without more information clearly. And whether that was the case or not, Berylip's duty now was to the city, to the Zorlaran forces still within Cusor Lauren. What would be left of her family if she stayed and fought and lost, as the Illithid had assured her would be the case? What would Matron Xerath find upon her arrival to the Lost Chambers, to the ruin of all her dreams? Berylip sucked in her breath hard. If she went to the battle and lost, Matron Xerath would likely walk right into a trap. Nay, she had to survive, had to warn Matron Xerath, had to warn Menzo Berenzon. "To the mines," Berylip said again, and she swiftly led the way out of her private chambers. Madness, Entreri thought, looking left at the advancing companions and the Drider trio rushing to intercept them. But even that word seemed too trite somehow, somehow unworthy of the chaos to the assassins left, where drow undead battle living drow and goblins, and where that wild dwarf, it was Brunner's former shield dwarf, Entreri believed, continued to wash in the blood of enemies. And if that weren't enough to scramble Entreri's sensibilities, out of the air, from a cloud of smoke that rolled in the reverberations of the winding horn, appeared a contingent of new warriors, barbarian warriors, leaping down or falling down from above to hit the floor running into battle. Any battle, it seemed. They each carried a pair of hand axes and put them to use wherever they could, whether on a goblin or a drow, alive or dead, it seemed not to matter. Berserkers, Entreri realized, and perhaps they had come from Warrior's Rest indeed. The assassin didn't know whether to hang there and let it all play out or find a way to join in the melee. He brought his metal scrap up to the lock and slipped it in, easily managing the tumblers. But when the cage was unlocked, he held it tightly closed, still unsure of his course and not wanting to get stung by Berylip's lightning glyph. His leg and his ribs ached from the beating the Drider had put upon him. He put more weight on that particularly injured leg, ensuring that it would hold his weight. Then he settled his thoughts and reached into his warrior core, determined to ignore the pain if the need arose. He watched the unwinding battle and waited and figured he'd sort it out. And indeed he did, almost immediately, when he saw Drizzt in trouble across the way, squared up against a pair of skilled drow warriors, and more so when he saw a third enemy approaching him, swords in hand. "To the lower tunnels," he heard a fourth dark elf call to that one, and the swordsman nodded but did not veer to follow. Nay, that third drow came for Entreri, his hands ringing eagerly around his weapon hilts, his intent clear in his red eyes. Entreri set his cage to swinging.
"They'll not have you, Iblith," the drow said, rushing in fast to stab at him.
He thrust his sword through the bands of metal, or tried to, but Entreri deftly rotated the hanging and swinging case so that as the sword came through, the band of metal went against it and turned it. And at that same moment, Entreri opened the cage, back across from the thrusting sword, and threw himself backward and up. The lightning glyph charged into him, but he was expecting it, and used to it, though his foe was not. Indeed, as that shock went up the blade of the sword, to the hilt and into the grasping hand, the drow yelped in pain and surprise and dropped the weapon. And around came the cage in its swing, its door arcing with lightning magic, opened like a biting maw. The drow was too quick for that, though, and he fell back, but first fell down to the floor to retrieve his blade. Except that his blade was not there, and the swinging, sparking cage was empty. Down low, caught by utter surprise, and against Artemis and Treri, the drow had no chance. He managed to block the first stab, even to deflect the second, and he almost got his legs back under him to stand. Almost. He felt the blood fountaining from his collar, felt the human pull the second sword from his grasp, felt the stone floor, which suddenly seemed so cold. So cold. Wulfgar tangled with a horde of goblins, several bloodthirsty enemies leaping all over each other to get at him. Regis faced just one opponent, but he would have gladly traded places with his large friend, for this was a drow, a dark elf warrior, supremely armed and armored and trained, and it only took the halfling the first exchange, his rapier thrust easily knocked aside, and his dirk barely clipping the thrusting sword in time to move it aside of his face, for him to realize that he was sorely overmatched. On came the drow with a dazzling flourish, and Regis retreated fast and thought to simply warp step as the first movement in a full retreat. But no. A snake was in his hand, regrown on the dagger, and as the drow pursued, the halfling threw it at him. Up it crawled, the leering, spectral face appeared, and the charging drow's feet came out from under him as he was yanked backward. "Hey-ho!" Regis cheered and leaped ahead to stab at him. But he skidded to a fast stop as the drow twisted around and stabbed back over his shoulder into that leering face, which disappeared in a heartbeat. Still twisting and rolling, the formidable drow was back on his feet before Regis had taken another step. "Wulfgar!" Regis cried, throwing the second snake, and again the drow was tugged back, and again he stabbed and broke free and came back up. And charged, and Regis shot him in the face with his hand crossbow. The drow staggered forward, Regis fell to the ground, and a great sweep of Aegis Fang swept the air above him and sent the dark elf spinning away. "Well fought," Wulfgar congratulated. Regis nodded as he stood once more, not disagreeing, but surely